to Poderosas FC Radio. I'm your host, Maite, and today my guest host is...
Hi, I'm Joe.
I'm so sorry about the super hiatus. It wasn't on purpose, but, you know, a lot was going on, and it was really hot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can't really go into a studio and record when it's that hot, even though we've done it before.
The heat wave was no joke.
Yeah. Definitely. I'm glad it's over. As always, we're going to start with some Poderosas announcements. It's going to be pretty short and sweet because we're nearing the end of the season. But one major thing that has happened since the last time that we were here is that BMO Stadium, which is ACFC's home stadium, banned Palestinian flags. And I know they didn't explicitly say that, but that's basically what they're saying. You know, they're like, any flag from countries in conflict, which is very vague and a way to kind of pick and choose. So, yeah, it's, you would think the USA flag would be banned if we're talking about that category. But in response, there was a display at the game directly following the announcement in La Fortaleza that was in solidarity with Palestine. So shout out to the people for, you know, always holding it down. I don't know why they think that they can silence us. They were very threatening to somebody who's in La Fortaleza who had a Palestine flag anyway. And it was really, really awful, like, the way that they kind of came at that person. I have to say, like, FO, if you're listening, wow. You did it again. I know that it's BMO, technically, but it's fucked up. So, really disappointing. We still stand in solidarity, and we're still going to be doing what we can in a way that doesn't get us harassed by security. So, yeah, other than that, we're, like I said, we only have a few games left, so we don't have a lot planned. So just check Poderosa's Instagram to see if there's any events coming up. At the moment, there's not. So, yeah, but let's go ahead and get into our guest host today, which is Joe. Please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, where you're from, everything that you are willing to let us know.
Yeah, so hi everyone, my name is Joe, or I'm also known as Domino to some people. It just kind of depends on what you prefer to call me. I was raised in, born and raised in Long Beach, California, so I kind of make my way over to LA to come enjoy the games. I'm also a dog mom to a 7-year-old pit bull, so that's one of my pride identities in this world. As well, I'm a college student, so I'm currently majoring in social justice studies, and I hope to transfer into a Chicana studies program sometime in the fall. Yeah, that's kind of the gist of me.
Very cool. Getting to know you already. Tell us about how you fell into soccer in general.
So that's where the story kind of comes in for me, because in my youth, my parents put me in a bunch of different sports, and I was kind of bouncing between softball and soccer because my mom wanted me to play softball. But it was clear by me picking the roses in the outfield that that wasn't the sport for me, and I was way better with my feet than I was with my hands. And so I ended up playing soccer from the age of like 6 all the way up until I turned about 16 as well, so about 10 years. I got really good in the defense. That was like where I really preferred to be, and I could be anywhere in the back line because I could use my left and my right foot very well. You know, not to toot my own horn, but very well. I started playing year-round soccer as well as club, which gave me the opportunity to try indoor soccer, and I also got to try beach soccer, which I loved, but oh, my feet would burn at the end of those tournaments. It was no joke.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
Yeah, it was something. And then I finally got to high school where I was like, I kind of wanted to take soccer seriously. But then again, I was kind of transitioning into a whole new culture. Like I went to a dual immersion school growing up. So I was very much used to Latino dominated spaces. And so when I went to high school and it was a predominantly white dominated space, it was a little awkward for me to kind of understand why I wasn't getting playing time or why I wasn't being seen the same as maybe my counterparts who were in club full time, and they definitely got special privileges that I wasn't allotted. And so that kind of forced me into like a negative space with soccer, and I kind of distanced myself for a number of years, starting my sophomore year all the way up to, I want to say, 2022 is when I kind of started hearing the buzz about like ACFC and started hearing about like the huge supporter base. And it was always just a thing that I saw, and I was like, oh, that would be so fun to be in La Fortaleza one day. But it never really like crossed my mind until, you know, something clicked. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and watch soccer again. I'm going to go and enjoy it because it was something I enjoyed for a long time. And yeah, that's kind of like my history with soccer. Now I'm back to loving it.
Yeah, accessibility with ACFC is a big thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like pricing right now, very accessible. It's easy to go. It's not like a hostile environment usually. Shout out to BMO. But yeah, I like that about it. It's still like good to have that reminder sometimes.
Yeah, and like it's funny because I got my first ACFD tickets as a birthday present. So my birthday's in August. You know, so shout out to the Leos.
Yeah, literally all of us.
However, I got to pick which game I wanted to go to first. And so I was like, oh, I'll go to the last game of the season. That's got to be when everyone turns up. And that just so happens to be the 10-15 game, which was my first ever ACFC game, which was an interesting experience, to say the least.
Yeah, well, I mean, that brings us to the next part of this semi-interview, which is, what is your Poderosa story? And that starts on 10-15, October 15th, the last game of the regular season last season, which was, if you've heard our episode about that day with Tiff, which I highly, highly recommend. It was an intense, intense day. And I the reason that this episode is kind of happening actually is because you were telling me about your perspective of it, because you weren't in Poderosas yet. Mm-mm. I was deep in it and there to fully experience that crazy day. Yeah. But yeah, please, I want to hear your side of the story of what happened and how you saw it.
Yeah, so the first half of the game, like, I learned so much about the first half of the game later on, but to my knowledge at the time, I was sitting on the other side of La Fortaleza. I had actual seats. So the first half of the game, I'm chilling, you know, I'm eating some nachos, not thinking anything is going on, right? And I see, like, the little Palestine sign, and I'm like, oh, awesome, like, that looks so great. We're going to go and join them at the second half. So we come over the second half and we do notice that there's like a lot more space. And I'm like, I wonder why that is. But, you know, again, not thinking too much of it because I'm not a part of the group yet. I pull up and we're there for about like, I want to say 10-ish minutes. And then that's when security decides to come over and talk to Andy, who happened to have a Palestine flag up. And it was in response to a France flag that was being shown in like the upper suites or something. And so the security guard was trying to essentially berate me and my best friend who had went, and my best friend, being a black man, was getting yelled at by a security guard, just like did not sit right with me. And he was kind of standing his ground too. We were supporting you guys and we were just like, this is not right. Who the hell are you to talk to us like this? Like, we just got here, to be honest with you. And the security guards were just being really like combative and literally trying to push us. And we were like, we're not moving. Like, if you want to talk to them, you can go around, you can find other people to maneuver around, but we're not moving. We're standing right here. And that's when I decided to get in the security guard's face, and my little 4'11 ass had my hand in his face, and I said, we're not talking to you anymore. You can figure out another way to do your job, but it's not going to be through us. And so, yeah, I got to see firsthand like what BMO and whoever was in charge of the security handles people and handles situations, because it just wasn't appropriate whatsoever. But because of that experience, I learned that Poderosas is exactly where I want to be and where I need to be and where I belong, because they reflect my values. And if I have to stand up every single time to whoever, that's what I'm going to do. And that's what I've done since I had work in a social justice nonprofit that I used to do when I was in high school. So this is not new to me. Protesting is also not new to me. And so I was in all in it. And I can't remember who it was. It was Oliver Johnson who told me that Poderosas are the rebels of the supporter groups. Mm. And that line is what's stuck in my head forever, because I'm like, oh, hell yeah, this is where I belong.
Yeah, I mean, shout out. That was such a hostile day. And like, for you to come into it, you know how it is, like the sayings of like, if you can't stick with us in the hard times, like, you know, don't be around for the fucking easy times.
Exactly.
Like, you were there for pretty much the hardest moment.
Yeah.
And you were like, this is for me. Like, I am here for it. So shout out to that. I think that like really speaks to like what the Poderosas are made of. Like,
yeah,
made of like, we're built different. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. Just a bunch of strong women who are built different.
Yeah, I love it. And I love that story. Like, I genuinely was like, okay, it's time for me to come back to Poderosas FC Radio. Yeah, I love it. And I'm really glad that you joined this year and that you've become such a part of it. Starting our TikTok, you've like been involved in a number of ways and you're very creative. So I'm really stoked at like you joining the space.
Yeah, I'm happy that the space is available, because when I was talking to you the other time at the the little kickback that the we little had. Community yeah. Little kickback. Hangout yeah. that we had on your birthday on and then the birthday. Day before my birthday. Yeah. Shout out us Leos. But we were talking about it, and it's so hard in your adult life to find community and to find really good friends that are going to be there for you, especially when, like, you're still trying to figure out what life is. And, you know, like, I mean, I kind of am one of the youngest, and not in a bad way, but I'm kind of envious in a lot of y'all who have things figured out a little bit more than I do. And so I kind of resonate with that in the sense of I want to surround myself with those people who are able to help me grow as a person. And Poderosas does exactly that for me. And, like, I took 7 years off before I went to college. I worked my ass off and I was just working and that's it. And I didn't have a community. I didn't have people to talk to, rely on, or anything that I could do or express myself. And Poderosas has given me that opportunity, not just like with the TikToks, but also like reigniting my love for photography, which is something that I also abandoned in my teens because of bad experiences I had with people, and I just didn't want to associate with photography anymore. I pulled my camera out of storage and I started taking pictures, and it's awesome because you guys get to like appreciate how you guys look in those spaces, and I love to capture that.
Yeah, it's been really nice this season having like a personal Poderosas like photographer in those moments. Yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, we're very involved with Las Fotos Project, who's very involved with ACFC now. And yeah, like you said, it's people like, especially like in like people of color, have like so many issues when it comes to creative fields and face so many obstacles, and also in sports, women in sports. Yep. So it's just like through this, we've been able to support so many youths and like Fotos Project who are like getting all this really cool experience. And Rocky Rodriguez got nominated for like this award in with her involvement with that project, so hopefully they win. I think you can start voting for them in October, so go do that. I'll post a link somewhere. That's super cool, and I'm glad that you're getting reignited in your passion for soccer and for photography and for TikTok now, which is one of my favorite things. I'm really excited about that. Yeah, it's been great. It's been like, for all intents and purposes, it's been a good season. Oh, yeah. Maybe not so much on the field, but we'll talk about that. But another reason that I was really excited to have you on the podcast was to talk about the Olympics a bit, because you tuned in. Not everybody did. I get it.
Oh, no, I was invested.
You were in it. You were waking up in the early morning to watch that footy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Let's talk about it. One of the first things that happened.
Oh, brother.
The Canadian drone drama.
That was something to witness. And as the story just progressed, it would just got worse and worse.
Seriously. And to me, what was hilarious is that they're spying on New Zealand. New Zealand?
Like, no offense, New Zealand. We love you.
Love you, Riley.
A good place in our heart is dedicated to you. However, why on Canada's perspective, why would you choose them to spy on? It just doesn't make sense.
Like, let's risk our careers for the most beatable team in our group.
Exactly.
No offense.
Exactly. And like, especially a team that wasn't fully there because Ali Riley wasn't playing. Like, I don't understand that. I mean, they didn't know at that point, but still.
Yeah. So then Canada got like a 6-point deduction, I think.
Something like that,
so, yeah. So, you know, their chances for like qualifying for quarterfinals were slim. They somehow pulled it off.
Oh, yeah, somehow.
Wild.
Wink, wink. I don't know. Maybe they had some leftover footage that they were checking. But, yeah, I do think it's crazy that they made it that far based off of... And I know they tried to appeal those points, but they
did,
didn't.
And they failed. Yeah. And, like, their managers were banned for, like, a really long time. They were fined. I think there's, like, potential prison time for some people.
I know the coach... Like, the coach was the last person to be removed. So, I know it was, like, an assistant or, like, a consultant that they had.
The one that really took the blame for it.
And then later on, it came to find out that Bev Priestman, who was the coach, had other involvement in the past before the Olympics.
And apparently, maybe the men's team as well.
Yeah, I heard about that, too. I don't know how the men's team plays into this, but maybe it's just, like, the overall Canadian Federation.
Yeah, I'm wondering. And, you know, Canada's football world is known for controversy already. Like, the women were not getting paid on time, let alone enough. So I hope that they hit the reset button, because Canada's getting their own soccer league, finally, their own professional women's soccer league. I think it's called, like, the NSL. Do not quote me on that. NWSL, I don't know. Definitely not that one. So hopefully players get a good opportunity and this doesn't end up being a terrible, terrible federation and slash organization.
Right.
And on another news, is the U.S. women's national team back?
Oh, that's a great, great question, because I have lots of opinions on that.
Emma, did you fix us?
I love Emma. I think Emma was exactly what the girls needed, because I don't know if it was just me, but when I was watching the Behind the Crest on YouTube and I saw Vlatko as their coach, like, it was stale. Their personalities were stale. And you can literally see the 180 switch as to when Emma came in, and they're like, they started feeling more like open and more relaxed. And I think that's really important for women's spaces, that they need a woman that's there that's going to encourage them and also give them the space to be them. Because if from a male perspective, right, like, they're there to get the job done, and that's very valid to say. However, if you're not allowing women to be women to a certain extent, how do you think that they're going to succeed? They're not robots.
Yeah, I mean, I always think back to Alyssa Thompson talking about her experience at the World Cup and how she describes it as, like, awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that sucks, you know what I mean? And it's like, not all women coach are great. I've heard horror stories about Jill Ellis, you know, and how they didn't have a good time until they literally won the championship.
Right.
But it's nice to see them having joy with Emma and winning with Emma. Like, these little videos of her being like, oh, I've got you all booked for a manicure. Like, hell yeah. Like,
that was so awesome. And the look on their faces were like, you're kidding, right? Like, you're not serious.
You're like, wait, what? Like, and this Emma's little jokester.
No, it's, I'm being so serious. And the karaoke night, that was another big thing, apparently, is that they had karaoke.
Oh,
and
that
was another bonding thing that they had. And they were trying to, like, I guess Lindsay and Emma were asked, like, who's the best karaoke singer? And I think they chose Rose. I don't know who it was. But
yeah,
I just think those little things really matter. And, you know, if we're talking about Jill Ellis, Jill Ellis is also a very focused person where she wants the job to get done and she doesn't
at
care how
costs,
it's done.
No person, no personality there. No, like, empathy there, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Exactly. And where Emma's coming from is she's like, well, if we don't win this time around, I'm here for the long haul. So I'm here until we do win. So with that mentality at hand, not all this pressure onto the girls, like, I feel like that made them succeed in this tournament.
Yeah. And I think that, like, Emma Hayes asked a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I think she pushed them a lot. Even I think most of us were freaking out, like, you're not resting players. You know what I mean? Like, freaking out. I include myself in that group. There was a lot of games where we won 1-0 in extra time. Like, these players were playing 120 minute games and, like, barely.
That scared me too.
I don't think we went to penalties at any point, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember us going to penalties. No. Yeah, I think
so
we kind of
love that for us.
Yeah, I love that too, because I guess that kind of tells the naysayers, like, oh, we are more than just, like, a penalty team. Like,
right. Not that we couldn't have figured that out, but that was the Gold Cup in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Like, we won the Gold Cup because of Nair's abilities in the penalty spot. So I love that. I like that so many Gold Cup teams ended up in that final.
Yeah, that's kind of weird how that worked out, but I loved it.
It was weird. I think, like, Spain has a serious, like longevity problem. Like, they are good in moments, but when they fail hard.
Yep.
And they failed hard against Brazil, who, you know, I think they were doing it for Marta at the end of the day.
Yeah,
her last Olympics.
Absolutely.
And they had quite a comeback. Could not believe my eyes. They really, really did well at the end there. They did well under pressure.
Yeah, I was rooting for them, to be honest. Like, at a certain point, I was like, you know what? Like, as much it would be great for the U.S. to win, like, Brazil's proving themselves in this tournament. And I think, like, I would not have been upset if they won. And especially, like, the coincidence of, like, I think it was something like 20 years after Marta did her first Olympics that she was now playing her in her last Olympics. So exactly 20 years to the date is, like, really creepy.
That's crazy. I was rooting for them against Spain for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I love that. I love that USA got gold and that they looked like they had fun and that that Emma was brave about who she brought on the team, right? Because we got Bethune in there. We had, like, youngsters in there. We left Morgan out. She's retired now. So sorry to hear it. So happy for Charlie to get a sister or brother or sibling. And, yeah, so that's been interesting. just to, yeah, making the hard decisions. Like, they did it. They did it.
I will say Lynn Williams' story on getting on that roster is also badass. Have you heard about it?
I have heard about it a little bit. I hate when she gets left off of the roster, even if she is a bench player. I see how she's a bench player. She should always be called up. Like, it doesn't make sense to me that she's always a backup.
Absolutely. And so she straight up called Emma and was like, hey, just consider putting me on the roster. And then the next day the roster dropped and she was on that roster. So that's a bad bitch if I ever heard of one.
Yeah, I'm saying. But anything else you want to bring up regarding Olympic football? I couldn't remember any other storylines, man. This summer's been long.
No, I will just say that in my head, when I saw the combination of Trinity Rodman, Sophia Smith, Mallory Swanson, and I included Jaden Shaw into that mix, I knew that it was going to be trouble. And I'm so sad that Jaden Shaw wasn't able to perform during that tournament. But holy crap, they popped off.
They did. Triple Espresso was like, I mean, I think one of them scored every single game.
I think it was all of, or no, it wasn't. What was it? I think they all had like 3 goals in the tournament, except for one had like 4 or something.
Probably Swanson.
Yeah, probably.
It really did prove that Swanson was a huge reason that in the World Cup we weren't going to do well.
Yep.
Like, as soon as Wichi got injured in that friendly, I was like, so much for that run.
Yeah, to be honest, you can see how much of a presence she is on the field, even if she's not really touching the ball as much.
She's a finisher.
Yeah, exactly.
She's a finisher. That's, you know, what you need. You just need that.
Absolutely. And you have good dribblers like Trinity Rodman and Sophia Smith. So if you just put Mallory Swanson right there, just beam, beam, boom.
I don't know how anybody stops them. Like, actually, super shout out to the friendly that they did against Costa Rica where they held them.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, incredible work, Rocky and team.
And I thought it was so funny that everyone was so nervous. And I'm like, I'm not nervous. That just means that Costa Rica is good. Like, I don't understand what the disrespect towards Costa Rica was.
After their Gold Cup performance, I had no doubts. I was like, they are going to pull some shit off. They're really, really good.
Exactly. And they held their own.
1,000%. Yeah, it's a good team. I also have to, yeah, I mean, I loved Mexico. We've not been on the greatest run. But to transition a little bit, some of those Mexican players from the national team were going against some NWSL teams in the Summer Cup, which was another really fun part of the summer. And ACFC had like a really good Summer Cup.
Yeah, really good.
I think we were like 2nd overall of all teams, and we were number 1 in our group.
Yeah, and I just think that they, I don't know if it's the confidence, I don't know if it's because
we had no international players out.
Or we're the second half team started up or what, but yeah.
Second season team.
Second half of the season. Yeah, whatever they call it, but it was crazy to watch because they were just popping off week after week, and I was here for it.
For sure, and like, it was interesting because they were playing in Fullerton, which is like supposed to be home for us, but it didn't feel like home. Even when we played our first game against America fans were dominating that
absolutely
field, but we were dominating the game, luckily.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we did really well, and that's against like really good Mexican national team players like Luna and Nikki Hernandez, like, and they have like a new goalkeeper who's really, really good too.
I think Scarlett was on that team, right? Because she had just gotten transferred from Bay FC to America, and I think she played that game.
I think you might be right. Yeah,
so, like, it was a stacked team that they were playing up against,
for sure. Scarlett's story is a whole other thing you can get into. That girl is just like, I want a starting spot. If you want to give it to me, I'm leaving.
Again, yeah. I love the energy.
Yeah, I wish we had kept her. Yeah, so we won that one 2-1. We only conceded a goal like literally in the last minute because, of course, Didi. And then we finally beat the Bay. I don't know why the Bay is our kryptonite and SoCal Derby or whatever you want to call it, but they beat us in the regular season both times, but we beat them in the Summer Cup. And it was pretty decided, I would say. I think we dominated that game. I think we did well. And then our final game was against San Diego. Very frustrating match. But Kristen Press came back.
Oh, yeah. I was nervous because, you know, she also went down during a friendly. So it was very nerve-wracking to see her go back on the field. But, I mean, I think she's ready. I think she came out full sprint and she's looking great so far.
Yeah, I mean, this game went to penalties. Mm-hmm. It was like a very hard-fought game. But we've never had to do a round of penalties before until this moment, and we found out that holy shit, we can do that.
Yeah,
we can do penalties, like we can do them really well. And Kristen Press got her first goal since coming back to football, basically.
Yeah, that
and
was amazing.
We like, yeah, it was wonderful. Even Didi blocking a goal was like, whoa, like we can do penalties, like that's really, really good to know, especially in a year where, you know, if we get into, you know, the finals, we could have to do something like that, and we could handle it.
Absolutely.
So it's good to know.
And it brings their confidence up, because I feel they were probably nervous going into it, but now that they know that they're capable of that, like that pressure's gone.
Yeah, or at the very least, like they aren't like questioning themselves. Yeah.
Right.
So it was nice. And then that was followed up by, I mean, that's 3 wins already, but that was followed up by a friendly game against FC Juarez, which was super fun for me, because I love like Liga MX teams in general, and also my family's from Chihuahua, so shout out. And so that game was kind of like a fever dream, because never have we seen AC FC in like that form. We saw Messiah like ball out of control and get the first ever AC FC hat trick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some of those goals were like, huh?
Yeah, so it was also a really special game for me, because that was the first time I was able to be on the sideline as an SG photographer. And so I got to be on the field, on the sideline. I was like maybe a little bit closer to La Fortaleza, like of the halfway line. But I was taking pictures, and then it would be goal, and I'd have to try to figure out where everybody is on the field, because it would be going so quick. They'd be scoring so quick. And I was like, Messiah again? Like, and me and the Panda's photographer, Miranda, me and her were just looking at each other like, did that just really happen again?
Yeah.
It was crazy. So I loved seeing it. At that point, I was kind of like, okay, I got to put my camera down. I can't even take any more pictures of you guys. It's exhausting.
Yeah, I mean, very similar vibes in La Fortaleza, because as soon as we thought we were done doing the Isalta thing, which is exhausting, here it goes again. We ran out of smoke, and like we would literally be like talking to each other about the goal that just happened while the next goal would happen. And mind you, all 7 goals came in the first half.
Yep.
So it was a busy, busy first half for us. And yeah, that was a fever dream. I'm just gonna, like, I can't even believe that it happened, but I think it gave us the confidence to come in, like, swinging to the regular season.
Absolutely.
And we did start off with an away game. I'm gonna get into the regular season recap now, but yeah, we started off with an away game against our main rival, San Diego Wave. A bunch of us came out, pretty much, like, 2 out of 3 people in this room went out there.
Sadly, wasn't there, no.
Bummer, yeah, but we went, and not only did we win, but Alyssa finally broke her no scoring streak with a brace, mind you.
Yeah, and I think her first goal came in the 19 minutes. I watched the highlights again today, and yeah, like she came out swinging.
Yeah, it was a banger, like 2 banger of goals. Like mm-hmm. They weren't just like easy peasy. Like these were good goals.
Yeah, and I think her confidence finally came back, because I don't know what happened, but I call it a confidence thing. I think she was not confident. I think she was scared to go into certain duels with certain players, and she was scared to shoot the ball instead, and she wanted to pass the ball. So I think now her confidence might finally be back.
I mean, goal droughts happen. It happened mm-hmm. to Sophia Smith, very notably the year that Portland won their championship. She went on like several months of no goals, like several months, and then still won like Golden Boot.
Right.
Because then she would ball out at the beginning and then at the end of the season.
Right.
So, you know, that's what I'm manifesting for Alyssa here.
Same.
Just come back. Shout out to my fantasy league team. Oh, you're boy. On my starting lineup. Don't let me down. So we won that one, and then we followed that up with a win against Chicago at home. Very, very scrappy last minute goal from LaRue, and also a goal from Alyssa, because she's just balling out from here on out.
Awesome.
And then things started to go a little bit awry.
Oh.
Which really sucks, because we haven't won enough games to be in an easy playoff contention. Like we were having to fight. These last 2 games were kind of essential for us, and we didn't win them.
Right.
So the Seattle game, I have to say the officiating was absolute trash.
No, that was the only reason why we lost. And I will absolutely stand by that forever. That is the only reason why we lost.
Did we play well? Did we concede goals? Like, yes. But Like, yeah, it was terrible officiating. We've been victim of that in the past. Mm-hmm. And, like, I hate to play the victim or whatever, but it really was bad. Like, I rewatched it.
Oh, I rewatched it, too. I have notes. So, was it a penalty? Sure. We'll call it a penalty. I will give you that first one because she does touch the ball before Didi comes in contact with her. That's a no-no. I also think it was also Megan Reed's fault for being in the way, and maybe that would have changed the scenario. Also, wasn't that the game that Sarah Gordon got hurt and she had to have stitches?
Yeah, wait. Yeah, right?
I believe it was. What's up with that?
What a boss bitch, but also nobody should, like, get injured that much and the other player doesn't see so much as a yellow card.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there was no way that the girl had blood in her braids and there was nothing called. That was
twice
ridiculous. Then the handball in their box that would have been a penalty kick for us was a clear handball.
Yeah.
I will stand by that.
No, officiating trash, like,
BS.
Was like, and this, we found out later that this ref was definitely, like, not a quality ref, like, somebody that was thrown to us from, like, another crap league that just should have never been there. You know?
Unfortunately evident, because we also scored two other goals that got called back.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, maybe one of them was properly, like, wrong, but the other one I don't think was.
I think Vignola was the one that I think was validly called back.
Yeah.
However, the Hammond one, LaRue went from an offside position and moved herself back to an onside position before she came in contact with the ball, before even somebody looked to pass her the ball. So how are you going to call that offsides if she's not even in the play yet? Like, she wasn't even being looked at on the field.
Yeah.
That's where I think he messed up.
He's tripping.
He was straight tripping.
Yeah. So after that, we went away for a game against Louisville, where we actually started off really strong. Mm-hmm. Alyssa, like, made a very smart play in the box, and Maggie Doherty Howard scored. Yep. We were doing good. Don't know how things fell apart. I'm going to be honest. We messed up. That was on us.
Yeah.
Did not recover. We conceded twice, and we lost that game.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at. And it's not our, we're not doing good. Like, last year it was pretty bad too, where, like, you know, we really needed a lot of other teams' games to go a certain way for us to make it into playoffs. Mm-hmm. And this year it's that plus, like, we need to get our crap together.
Absolutely. And especially with adding two more teams into this season, it's not easier at all for Angel City to try to just slip through the cracks.
It was supposed to be easier though, because we have more teams going to playoffs than not.
True.
We have 8 spots. True. Out of 14. This should have been the easiest year to make it in, and we're still not there.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, because I feel like one week we have, like, this fire under our asses, and then the next week it's like there's no fire there, and I wonder. Yeah.
All our wins are scrappy, and that's really unfortunate. Mm-hmm. We're not winning games because we're, like, just doing so well. We're winning because we are just scraping through, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what kind of sucks. So let's take a look at just, like, how other teams are doing in the NWSL.
Oh yeah,
because this is, like, the polar opposite to what last year was. Last year, like, the half of the freaking league was in contention for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
And this year it's not that at all.
Mm-mm. It's, like, very cut and dry.
Yeah. Orlando, Washington, and I think Gotham and KC Current have all cinched, like, playoff spots. That's 4 teams.
Absolutely.
And we have, like, 5 weeks of gameplay to go, so the only thing left is 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, which sounds like a lot, but the reality is that North Carolina and Chicago are, or mostly North Carolina is in a really good spot for that 5th spot.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chicago, Portland, and Racing Louisville are in a pretty good spot for the rest of it, and we're fighting against everyone. We're literally fighting every single team except for maybe Utah and maybe not Houston, but also Utah, Houston, Seattle, Bay, San Diego, all of these teams are at the bottom, have made huge, huge moves in the summer.
Yep.
For players. And they're making huge adjustments and they're really, really trying. Whereas we picked up Salem, who's great, but she's not fixing our problems.
Right.
At all. I like that we're being intentional. I don't want to just, like, get players who are going to leave later. Shout out Amandine Henry. Like, that's not what I'm trying to do either. But we're also not doing as much as other people. So it's a little disheartening right now. Like, maybe this is just a building year for us. I don't know. But we have a really, really steep hill to climb. And we actually are getting really lucky because Washington Spirit isn't looking great and Rodman got injured. Oh, that's yeah, who we play Friday. Tomorrow, I don't know if this episode will be out or not, but tomorrow we play against, oh my God,
Portland.
Against Portland. Mm-hmm. Also not doing amazing.
Right.
But Sophia Smith is still Sophia Smith.
Yep.
So we'll see how that goes. I don't think we have like the steepest road as possible. Like, we've got Orlando out of the way. I think we have Gotham out of the way. We have KC Current out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So not the steepest hill, but a steep hill.
Steep enough.
Yeah. Like, we already played the two easy to beat teams and we lost. So.
Oh, yeah.
But that's very ACFC.
It is very ACFC energy. And I still have hope and confidence that the girls are going to do what they got to do to pull it out. I will say that I do think that Courage is for sure going to be in the playoffs. I think that Ashley Sanchez is balling either it's her ball. Alone or her with the team. She's balling out so hard that they're going to get there.
I agree. I do agree. I'm also fortunate. Well, we play them one time. We play them once and we play them at their home field. They're notorious for not losing at home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what, like, to talk a little bit about what's coming up. We already mentioned Portland and Washington, aka Sophia and Rodman. We play Seattle again. I fully think that we can take Seattle this time.
Absolutely.
Even if it's at their house, I don't care.
We just need a different officiator. That's it.
A good officiator.
A good one.
That's it. They are doing really well now because, like I said, they made moves in the summer. They are finishing their adjustments. It's not going to be easy.
Mm-mm.
But we do crazy stuff, so it's fine. And then North Carolina at home, that'll be tough. Utah at our home, that won't be tough. No. And then we're going to end the season, the regular season, in Portland. Shout out to all the Politosas that are going, including myself. Let's go. I think everybody's gonna come into that game with the same attitude of like, let's just have fun.
Yeah.
Let's just enjoy it, you know, enjoy the soccer and not think about the win. Because Portland at home is as hard as playing us at home, I would say. Probably a lot harder because we have a terrible home field advantage.
Yeah.
But I'm excited and I also have hope. So I hope others like haven't given up, but I do understand the mentality of like, let's just have fun.
Yeah, same. At that point, let's just like turn up. We're all one big family. You know, we're in it together. So let's just, good vibes.
For sure. I forgot to ask you about your player of the pod.
Oh.
The first ever capping the episode with a player of the pod. But so who is your player of the pod?
My player of the pod is going to be Sarah Gordon. Because first of all, they are... What did I put here? Sorry, we're going to start over.
You're good.
I wrote it down.
Start like you just came up with it right now.
So my player of the pod is going to be Sarah Gordon. My girl has been through the trenches. They have tried to beat her down in every way possible. And she's just been holding it down for the back line. And like I mentioned earlier, I played in the back line. And so I have a lot of respect for those players who can really hold it down. And Sarah Gordon is holding it down week after week. She is a mother. She is that girl on the field. Okay. And even with stitches and two black eyes, like her TikTok said, she's okay.
She's a mother.
I love it. I love her TikTok so much. And did you see the TikTok that I'm talking about where it's the JTOK audio and she's like, yeah, she's hitting that right after she just got stitches and two black eyes.
And she's like, when you have a game at blah blah and then you have an event afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The queen of TikTok. I love her so much.
Yeah. I think people couldn't believe that she literally came back and continued that game after busting her head open.
Yeah.
And then started the next game. People were like, oh, is she back yet? I'm like, she never left.
Oh yeah, she never left and she's never gonna leave because that's the type of Sarah Gordon energy that she has.
Yeah, we are truly, our backline doesn't, I don't, no offense, but it doesn't exist without her.
No, absolutely not. Like, yeah. She is the core to that.
Yeah, love our captain. I think she's doing an amazing job. Like, yeah, I'm really really glad that we have her. I can't understand why she hasn't been called up again. that she's a baller.
No, absolutely. Like, she, and it's not just like her playing presence, but it's also like her experience presence. Like, she's been in the league for a while now. She's been playing soccer since before she got pregnant with her son. She got pregnant, then she continued playing after that. So she's part of like the first group of mothers who like were learning how to maneuver mothering and being in the league, and she did it very well at such a young age. And no, she's amazing.
Yeah. That's like the best player of the pod, actually. I don't know how it hasn't come up yet, because she's the best. But shout out to Sarah. We're going to end off the episode doing some plugs, plugging some stuff. And one of our most important segments is the LA business of the podcast that is usually provided by our guests. Do you have an LA business that you'd like to shout out?
Oh, okay. So my business of the week or pod is going to be Skate Fanatics. It's located in Paramount, California. They are a Black-owned skate shop that I 100% recommend. They have everything that you'll ever need, and if they don't have it in stock, they'll give you a date when it will be in stock. They have such great prices. They're not overcharging you like some other places. Maybe in Long Beach, maybe not in Long Beach, will charge you. But they're the place that I got my first pair of skates, and I have had the same pair of skates, the same bearings, the same everything, and I know that's not great, so don't judge me, skaters out there, but it's gotten me this far, and I love them absolutely. So if you are ever in need of some skate gear or anything like that, go to Skate Fanatics. SK8 Fanatics.
Shout out to all the skaters. And then we also take a little bit of a moment to like maybe chat about whatever it is that you want to recommend, that maybe you're reading or listening to podcast-wise, or movies that you've just seen. Is there anything that you're like, oh, I've been loving this, you should check it out?
Well, I will say my guilty pleasure for fall season is what I'm watching right now, and I love me some Gilmore Girls. So nice. I like living into that little fantasy. But if you are a reality TV show fan, I do recommend watching Big Brother. I know the season's coming to an end. However, y'all can get prepared for next season. Big Brother is a huge thing in my household. So if anyone wants to like watch Big Brother next season and get invested and talk about the players, let me know, because that's what I love.
I applaud your bravery. I'm big into reality TV, like the trashiest, worst reality TV, and I'll never say which ones out loud.
Oh, I will gladly. Jersey Shore Family Vacation, that is like my flavor of reality TV. That's my fave. But I also like, you know, like the competition ones. So like Big Brother's like a competition reality TV show. I also love like The Challenge, which is like OG MTV. So yeah, I love all that stuff.
Very nice. All right, sounds good. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. This was like exactly what I wanted, and I think it's a great way to come back and end the season off. I promise we'll have a couple more episodes before the season ends, and maybe even an off-season episode or two. I don't know what soccer's going on in the off-season. Nothing's been announced. Like, it's gonna be nothing but friendlies, I guess,
to be honest.
Yeah, so it might be quiet on this front, but look out for the crudos that are coming soon. If you know, there's actually some backlogged ones that I'll probably, maybe that's what I'll post in the off-season. It'll be some crudos that I never got to, sorry Johnson. And yeah, we'll go from there. But once again, thank you for listening, and if you would like to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, please do. 5 stars only. Thank you. Bye.